very hard on fitness and the running game.
That's what kind of led me to want this dream of being a racing driver.
There's no point in talking about anything except standards of excellence.
We will deal with the Tailteann Cup if we're in it, and we'll certainly give it every bit of respect.
There's no feeling that beats playing for Ireland.
Up the Ellerbelly.
My God, I'm going to do everything that is possible to bring us there.
This is Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
Good evening and welcome to this week's Sports Beat Extra with Aoife Kearns. Coming up on today's show,
which is an amazing, amazing achievement.
Great to have a local winner like that.
We hope Willie now will go on and win the championship.
Willie Mullins returns home to Carlow with Grand National winning horse I Am Maximus. Paul Murphy previews the hurling championship, which gets underway tomorrow. We speak to Hayley Fitzsimons from the Dwarf Sports Association of Ireland, the March winners of Beats Club Focus. But first, a Kilkenny rally driver tearing up the circuit at the age of just 19.
Sports Beat Extra. Beat 102-103.
So it's been an astounding few months for rising rally star Jack Brennan, who's just back from Hungary with a fifth place finish on his European rally debut. The South Kilkenny teenager is joining me now here in studio. Jack, are you still on a high?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Aoife. No, we're definitely still on a high from Hungary last week. It was probably one of the most challenging and tough events I've ever done in my career so far. But yeah, me and all the team are still on a high after the weekend.
Brilliant stuff. And how was the course in Hungary?
It was quite rough. It was, as I was saying, it was definitely one of the most challenging events I've ever done, with the length of it and how it's a 3-day event rather than a 2-day event, which I will be a small bit used to. But no, it was great. It was a real big learning curve for me out there. And I suppose the whole team had to acclimatise to doing a rally as big as that. But no, I have to say, everyone pulled together. My navigator, John McGrath, the NCRS Motorsport Services, and everyone in the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy all pulled together to give me a hand.
And obviously, it's as you said there, you mentioned it a few times, it's a big team effort. And I believe that John, that you mentioned there, a Wexford man, so it's a Southeast double act.
Yeah, it definitely is. No, it's definitely a team effort. None of these things can happen without the people that surround me. It might look like it's just me and John from the outside looking in, but there's a big team of people that I really would be lost without.
And you mentioned there, obviously, it being a 3-day event, you usually are used to doing the 2-day, I guess, is it quite intense over? What would a day involve?
So the 3-day event is definitely quite long. On Saturday, we have Shakedown, which is kind of like a practice run, just to kind of get you bedded in. And some of the top cars in the event, they seed their qualifying list and stuff off it, so the row position that they have when they start. And we'll do one super special stage in around the town for fans and stuff like that on the Friday. And then for this rally, it was 6 stages on Saturday and then another 6 on Sunday, which was fairly demanding.
And you mentioned John there, obviously, I guess. How did you kind of meet each other and start competing together?
It was about 2.5 years ago. I was in the junior 1000 class, the starters class for rallying in the Irish Forestry Championship, and he was a very close friend of my dad's, so he had asked him, with John with all his experience of top level Irish rallying and English rallying, he also does stuff in America as well, so he was it was definitely a dream to have John sitting with me. And the joke that me and John always make is the first time he ever did co-drive for me, it was sure, we'll do one event and then we'll go from there. And here we are after traveling the world 2.5 years later. So it's definitely been a journey.
Yeah, well, I can only imagine as well, having someone with that experience, that can only stand to you, and you can learn so much from that too. And obviously that kind of family connection as well. You know, you probably know him since you were a young lad.
Yeah, it's he's a really big help to me. The experience that John brings to the car is second to none. There's a lot of situations where I get stressed out and he has to calm me back down again. So no, he's an absolutely top man at his job. I could never fault him, but no, it's great to have John on board.
Tell me a little bit about the car that you're driving.
So the car that we're driving is a Peugeot 208 Rally 4. It is quite a very quick car. There's 3-way adjustable dampers, sequential gearbox. All the bells and whistles that every homologated rally car would have. So it's certified by the FIA and it's built in a factory. And yeah, it's quite a car to tame and handle. But hopefully, I'm going to try and get used to it now more as the time goes on.
And tell me, where do you practice in and around the southeast?
There's not really much room for practicing. There's there's not many facilities. There's a couple in the UK, but there's only one really for gravel testing up the north of Ireland that's on private land and stuff like that. So there's not much room for practice bar official pre-event test with the motor club before each rally out farm. But no, it's definitely not much time in the car before you get in for the rally.
And tell me a little bit about yourself. You're from my neck of the woods, South Kilkenny, a little place called Mooncoyne. Where did the love of driving come from? Is it something that your whole family has been interested in? Are you a family of petrol heads?
Yeah, it definitely will be. There's a big rallying community in South Kilkenny, and my dad, I suppose, got me into it with he used to co-drive in the Irish Tarmac Championship, which was when I was young as I can remember. I was following him around the whole country, and it's great. I was brought up with it every single day. It was all about going racing, going rallying, and I suppose work as well at home with the lorries. So yeah, it's been bred into me with a long time.
So just machinery mad, car mad, lorry mad, the whole lot.
Yeah, definitely. It's a fairly mad house, but my sister is definitely the cheaper child. She plays she has no interest in it. She plays soccer and hurling, and she's gone every night of the week. So she's definitely the cheaper child, as my mum and dad call it.
Obviously, there being such a strong kind of association with rallying in the area, talk about South Kilkenny and Waterford, and obviously as well, we sadly had the first anniversary, Craig Breen's first anniversary last week. Was he someone, I guess, when you were young, was it like amazing to have the likes of Craig Breen from the area and to look up to and to see him competing at the level that he did?
It was definitely to have Craig around was one of the best things that probably ever happened to me. He actually helped me out personally in a lot of ways, of coming testing with me and giving me advice and stuff like that. So no, having Craig around was definitely something I'll never forget, and the places that I got to now definitely wouldn't be out without his help either.
In terms of your successes over the past few months, Jack, obviously you've had successes on the track, but also as well you won the Billy Coleman Award. Would you be able to talk to us a little bit about that, and I guess what has that done for you and I suppose your future career down the line?
It was something I could have only dreamt of, winning the Billy Coleman Award. It's a selection process, so it will be Motorsport Ireland and the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy will select nominees, and luckily enough I got into the top three. So it was I never really thought that I would win it. I thought that that I'd be too young and that the other candidates were so strong. So I ended up winning it in the end, which was it really has allowed me to be able to go to the Junior European Rally Championship with the help of Motorsport Ireland, the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy, and the prize fund and all the backing that you do get from it.
What is the next thing in your sights? What are you gearing up for next?
I don't know. I suppose we'll have to see how the year plans out. This campaign would definitely be, hopefully it won't be just a 1 year thing. So we'll have to see how it goes and take it from here.
You're the uber professional, giving nothing away. Come here, pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much, Jack, for coming in.
Thanks very much, Aoife.
This is Sports Beat Extra.
Tomorrow is the day hurling fans have been waiting for as championship season gets underway. Joining me to discuss this weekend's action and what shape sides are in heading into the championship is former Kilkenny hurler and co-host of the Hurling Pod, Paul Murphy. You're very welcome to Sportsbeat Extra, Paul.
Thanks very much, Aoife.
So can we start off, first of all, with how the sides are looking heading into the championship? Munster is really what everyone will be looking at this year. And what a game to start us off. Limerick versus Clare at Cusack Park.
Yeah, look, it's been a game that once the fixtures came out earlier this year, people straight away had their eyes focused on it. We had to wait and see how both teams would come through the league. I think everybody presumed Limerick would go well. But just to see what Clare would produce. Last year, you know, Clare weren't overly impressive in the league, but came good in championship. But Clare coming out as league champions, facing this incredible Limerick team going for a five in a row. It's incredible to have such a game at the start of the round robin. So, look, there's other great games in other places, but it's hard to compete with this one this weekend.
Now, you say that obviously Clare winning the league, they weren't necessarily in as good shape last year when it came to the league stages. But some would say then Limerick bowing out that little bit earlier, would that maybe work in, to their advantage in terms of training and preparation for the championship?
Yeah, it could absolutely. If there's one team that'll use that time really well, it's Limerick. You know, Limerick will have built up a mental fortitude over the last few years in terms of teams coming at them really hard, you know, maybe coming out occasionally on the losing side against teams, but bouncing back really well. So I think if there's one team that could take losing league semi-final, use that time really well, it's definitely going to be Limerick. You know, they'll have a chance for some other players to recoup from injuries as well. So they're going to come with a really strong panel. But I think the fact it's down in Ennis as well, if it was in the Gaelic grounds, this game might lean a bit more towards Limerick. But we've seen how good Clare are also in Ennis. And after the league final, they just look like that their backs are up, that they're full of confidence. So that's why I think people are so intrigued by this game, because it's such fine margins and it's just going to be such a hard game to call.
And fine margins as well as a bit of local rivalry. And I mean, when it came to the championship last year, probably one of the highlights of it was that Clare-Limerick game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a great game. There's great stories around it as well. Also, I suppose John Conlon leaving his brother's wedding as best man to go down and win man of the match. I mean, each game that we've seen from Clare and Limerick over the last few years has really just drawn up just, you know, such a display for the neutral and for supporters alike. You know, I think they're going to be in for a great game.
In terms of the other games then in Munster tomorrow, Waterford versus Cork in Welsh Park, Davy Fitzgerald heading into this game saying he wants to end Waterford's unwanted record in the championship. That's one way of putting it. What do you think about the Daisha? How do you think they are heading into this game? And do you think they showed any bit of glimmer of hope in the league?
Yeah, look, I suppose it's no secret to say that Waterford are probably coming into this game in a tough position. You know, at different stages in the league, I mean, really small parts of matches, they showed flickers of what they're capable of doing. But overall, within the league, I don't think Waterford will be overly too happy with their league. It I suppose it's going to be tough to see where they're going to come from against this Cork team, who, you know, throughout the league, they didn't start too well, but came into it and finished really strongly. They have a strong panel, and I think everybody is fancying Cork to, you know, possibly have a strong championship, maybe not go as far as not Ireland, but they do have the potential. Waterford at the moment, I think it's really their structure. A lot of Waterford supporters are calling out for maybe something a bit more that we've seen in the past, a bit more 15 on 15. They have a lot of tactics going on. Are the tactics getting traction? It's hard to say. But I do think Waterford are coming into this in a bit of a weaker position to Cork. And I think Cork will be eager to get a good start to the championship, get the points on the board and leave away from Welsh Park. But again, Welsh Park is a tough place to go. So I'm not expecting anything easy for Cork, but I think a lot of people might be expecting the Cork victory out of this game.
Now looking to Leinster, Wexford versus Dublin. Wexford showing some promise and fairness in the league. Good draw with Kilkenny. Could they maybe have a decent championship this year?
They absolutely could, yeah. I mean, I think if you offered the Wexford supporters the position they're in now at the start of the league, they would have taken your arm off. You know, last year, just disappointing. You know, they couldn't get any sort of form, even going into games, taking fairly sizable beatings. They had a lot of injuries as well. And it was unfortunate for Dara Egan that they just didn't get the traction they would have hoped. But look, under Keith Rossiter, they seem to have been rejuvenated. They've unearthed a few players, and few players have maybe found another level of form as well. So I think they'll be really happy with that. And, you know, a few great results during the league as well. One thing Keith Rossiter will keep an eye on is, you know, against Offaly, they gave Offaly the incentive. It was a bad night. It was tough conditions, but they gave Offaly the incentive. You know, drawing with Clare down in Wexford as well. There's a lot of good results, a lot of things to point to. But the team in general, they look hungry. They've been playing really well without a few of their bigger names, the Dio Keefs, you know, Lee Chin intermittently was playing, Liam Ryan and a few of these lads. So if they can get their injuries right, get a few players back, I think Waterford could be, I suppose, a team to keep an eye on, or sorry, Wexford could be a team to keep an eye on during this championship. Mm-hmm. They could cause people problems as well. And I think they're riding the crest of the wave, and having been to one or two Wexford games, you know, the crowd are really behind them and the crowd are really supporting what they're doing at the moment. So Wexford, you know, I think they'll be really happy. Nobody is, you know, speaking too loudly about them at the moment, and they'll be happy with that coming in under the radar. So I think, you know, Wexford could be in for a championship that they'll be very happy with.
In terms of Leinster then, and I expect absolutely no bias here, Kilkenny up against Antrim and Nolan Park, obviously in terms of the league, losing out to Clare in the final, decent showing in the league, obviously then as well in terms of the final, very much feeling the loss of TJ in that final. But in terms of Leinster, would you say Kilkenny are the favourites this year?
I would say marginally, certainly. You know, I know Galway supporters might say that Galway are maybe tipped a small bit ahead of them. I saw a bit of talk during the week that people were saying maybe Galway might have a bit more of an X factor about them. But, you know, it's hard to deny Kilkenny at the same time. I may have a bit of bias in that. But, you know, when Kilkenny have been asked questions, they went down and they beat a good Limerick team in the league semi-final. They had a good league. They had their ups and downs also during the league as well. But I suppose the big part that Kilkenny will point to is that, you know, they unearthed a few players this year after O'Loughlin's got to the Club All-Ireland. A few more players have come on a small bit. And they really hurled a lot of the league without the likes of TJ as well. Now, we saw the influence of TJ when he's not present in the league final. You know, maybe they could have dealt with or used that steady hand on the field. But, you know, Kilkenny will be quietly happy with where they are. I think Derek will be eager to, I suppose, not give the incentive to any teams. We saw during the league, they played Offaly in Nolan Park, and the first half really Offaly were the better team. And Derek would be saying, you know, if we have any intentions of winning the Leinster final or going to an All-Ireland final, we can't be handing teams that incentive. So, look, Antrim at the weekend, Antrim have caused a lot of problems for teams up in Corrigan Park. Maybe not so much on the road, but they're certainly a dangerous team and capable of I suppose, dragging a team into a tough game. So Kilkenny will be eager to get a good start and get their 2 points in the road. And then, you know, after that, they're going to be really looking at a tough game against Galway up in Pier Stadium.
And then the last fixture of the weekend, Carlow up against Galway in Pier Stadium. Do you think, you mentioned it already as well, could Galway potentially be the dark horses of this Leinster Championship, or will it be kind of a case Galway, Wexford, Kilkenny and between the three of them?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I suppose you'd have to pick your three as Galway, Kilkenny and Wexford. You know, Dublin have drifted that small bit. You know, previously Dublin would have held that third spot for quite a bit, and even, you know, second and first in other years. But, you know, Dublin just haven't shown the form that we've seen previously in the past. And, you know, for me, Wexford have really taken over that third place. In terms of the Leinster Championship, look, Galway have been really, I suppose, the lease of life this Leinster Championship needed over the years. And they have introduced that, you know, that bit of toughness into the Leinster Championship that maybe had drifted during the 2000s. So Galway, look, they're a very strong team. They've brought back Johnny Glynn now from America as well, which will be tough for any team to face. And, you know, Carlow were the first team to face this Galway team now at the weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how they face up to them. Carlow have come through, you know, they won the Joe McDonagh last year and very, very great winners, I suppose, in that game against Offaly. And they'll be happy to be up there. They'll be happy to compete against Galway and see how they do. I think people are, obviously, everybody's expecting maybe a Galway victory this weekend. But, you know, Carlow will be there to compete. They'll be there to test their mettle against this Galway team and come back with a few measurables to see, well, where exactly are we at the moment? And no better team to do that against is Galway. And, you know, I think Henry Shefflin will be saying that, you know, again, similar to, I suppose, Kilkenny against Antrim, they'll be saying, look, we don't want to give these lads the incentive. We'll want to start well, and we want to maybe get a distance between the two of us. Because, you know, one thing we have seen from Carlow is that they do have the good players. You know, you have Chris Nolan and the likes there. They're great players. And I think if you give them any sort of a glimmer of hope, you know, they're a tough team to beat. So I think Carlow will go hard at Galway, but I'm expecting Galway just to have a bit too much for Carlow and maybe, you know, come away with a 5 or 6 point victory.
Now, Paul, I'm just going to wrap this up with an easy question. Is this the year that Limerick will win the 5 in a row? And if not, who are the teams that will beat them?
Well, it's hard to look past them at the moment. You know, I think everybody outside of Limerick is hoping that their team steps up. But look, they're just an incredible team. They have a great panel. It's a panel that's not, you know, at the far side of 30. You know, most of their players are in their 20s. So it's hard to see them slowing down anytime soon. But, you know, if we saw in the league semi-final, we saw a lot of, I suppose, traits and characteristics that are unlike Limerick, and they just dropped off the pace a small bit. I don't expect that in Championship, but they do have a very tough Munster Championship coming up, and no tougher game than their first one against Clare. I think a lot of people are saying if Clare win that game, it suddenly now puts a bullseye on the back of Limerick. And you have every team, you have Corks, you have Tipperary, everybody coming at them then looking for that second win. And if you know, if Limerick are to be beaten, I expect it to be in Munster. Outside of that, I mean, you're really looking at, I suppose, Clare, Kilkenny, Galway. Galway went at them in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. And they seem to be the three teams at the moment. I think Cork have to step it up a small bit more. Tipperary's form in the league semi-final, again, wouldn't indicate that they're a team that's going to go and beat Limerick. But look, there certainly is challengers there to them. But really, I suppose we need a small bit of a drop in form of Limerick, but 1 or 2%, and that'll leave the door open for other teams. So there is potential there. But at the moment, you know, you have to say that if you're calling it with your head, Limerick are the team to beat, and they're in the pole position at the moment for the 5 in a row.
Sports Beat Extra.
Hundreds turned out in Loughlin Bridge in Carlow earlier on this week to welcome home Grand National winning trainer Willie Mullins and the horse I Am Maximus. Our own Dana Kearney was one of them.
People gathered in their droves to welcome back the top horse and his trainer Willie Mullins, along with jockey Paul Townend.
Which is an amazing, amazing achievement.
Great to have a local winner like that.
Come tomorrow in Loughlin Bridge, it'll be back to normal. But now we're all excited meeting one another here. We hope Willie now will go on and win the championship.
Proud is not the word. I suppose we take it a bit for granted being so close or whatever. But it's only when we're in different company and people talk about Willie and we realise we're in the presence of greatness.
They paraded across the bridge in the village and stopped at some of the local businesses along the way before heading back to the Lord Bagnall for some more photograph opportunities and autographs. The momentous win means that Mullins is close to winning the British trainer's title for the first time in 70 years. Here's what he had to say about the win.
Well, I think just cloud nine, I think, is the way, you know, it just, you start to, the minute the horse passes the winning post, you just go into a different zone, and I've been enjoying it and hopefully enjoy it for the whole year until next year's National.
And how much work day-to-day, I'm sure a lot of work goes into it behind the scenes.
It is, but I'm lucky enough, I have great staff, I get them to do it for me. So, you know, we've a great team at home, and, you know, starting with my wife Jackie, and then Patrick, David, Casey, Ruby, Paul Townend, Dick, David Porter, Rachel, who look, you know, and then Stephen, who looks after the horse, and Rachel, who rides him. So there's a great team, and they know what to do, and really, I'm just overseeing it, so they do most of the work.
And what is, I suppose, the championship is in your sight next. How do you feel? What are your chances?
We're in a nice position. We're in front. Hopefully, we'll have one or two nice horses that we can bring to England, along with Mr. Nichols and Skelton don't organise a ferry strike or something like that. You know, that we're in a nice position, but there's still a bit of hard work to do.
Club Focus.
Beats 102-103. So the March winner of Beats Club Focus is the Dwarf Sports Association of Ireland. And joining me to tell me all about some of the sports that the association competes in is Hayley Fitzsimons from Washford. Hayley, is it Portlaw?
Portlaw, yeah.
Portlaw and Proud. So tell me about the association, and I guess, you know, I believe as well that you had a competition only in the past week or so?
Yeah, we had our annual sports day there on Saturday. But the association, I suppose, was established in 2012 with the aim of raising awareness but providing an equal sporting opportunity for those with restricted growth or a form of dwarfism. So I have a form of dwarfism myself known as achondroplasia. And I suppose the association was there because there was no other outlet for people like myself to compete on a level playing field. And the Dwarf Sports Association provides this opportunity for athletes to compete at, whether it's as young as 5 years of age up to the age of 80, or if not more. So yeah, so the association was set up in 2012 with this aim. Since then, we've been to Canada, America, and last year we travelled to Germany for the World Dwarf Games that are held every 4 years, just like the Olympics. It was an absolute great success for the team. We came back with a haul of medals, so the team competed in different sports. We had badminton, boccia. So boccia is like another form of bowls where the athletes are seated, but they can do it in teams or singly. We had running, we had archery, we had athletics, we had powerlifting. And we had team sports as well. But because obviously the Irish team isn't a big number, what we do often is combine with other teams. So for the team sports, we were actually mixed with team members from Spain and France. And it was a great atmosphere altogether. It's a week, once every 4 years, that average high people, when they come to these games, are the ones that actually stand out rather than us. Because we're all at the same height. We're all able to make eye contact with each other, and we can all share our own stories. So it's a great opportunity to meet new people, make new friends, and reconnect with old friends.
And in terms of training week to week, month to month, I guess, where is that? Where does that take place? And would there be other athletes, I guess, part of the association as well that would compete?
We have several athletes that compete. But I suppose because our sports are so individualised and because this, the World Dwarf Games are only once off every 4 years, it's the athletes decide what sports they're going to partake in, and then we find competitions for them with different organisations that they can compete in. But it depends on the sport and depends on the season of the sports. Like swimming might be running now, badminton might be starting now, athletics will be starting in maybe May, June. So depending on the sports, depends on when the competitions start and when the athletes compete.
And what about yourself? What do you enjoy yourself?
I used to do athletics. I competed for Ireland, so I done javelin, shot put, and discus. I suppose pre-COVID and coming up to COVID, I kind of took a step back from that because I got into full-time employment and there wasn't enough. I didn't want to give 50-50. I wanted to give either 100% to one of them. So I took a step back, but I'm actually training at the minute for a half marathon. So that's the goal this.
Now, in terms of the Dwarf Sports Association, you don't receive any funding at all from the government at the moment.
No, we don't receive any funding. Before we went to Canada in 2017, we got the opportunity to go up to Leinster House and plead our case to the government that it was a sporting organisation that was there for people with restricted growth or dwarfism, and that there was no funding available to us. And we were actually told at the time that I suppose our numbers were too small, excuse the pun. But then we got told that there was this surplus of €9,000. But at the time, there was only 9 athletes going to the World Dwarf Games in Canada. So that turned out to be €1,000 each. And as you and I know ourselves, €1,000 to go to Canada is not going to cover much. So, but look, it's not that we're ungrateful. We would like ongoing support from the government. But we're according to them, we're not in the position to get ongoing support.
And for yourselves, I'm sure as well, it would mean a whole lot to see the government support people with a disability, in this case, it being dwarfism, and that's partake in sport.
I suppose there's such a cry for people with, I suppose, disabilities to get involved in sports. But if organisations like us can't provide the support to the people to get involved in sport because we don't have the funding, it's very hard for numbers and the increase in numbers of athletes to partake in sport and provide that level playing field for each athlete to compete in.
So I'm sure the club focus any little bit helps, that you'd be very appreciative of this 2,000, you know, for yourself and the association. What might that do?
That 2,000, like, it means so much to us because it'll go towards our running of our sports day costs, it'll go towards athletes meeting up, it'll go towards having, like, even down to our AGM when we have that every year, we have to pay for the hiring of the hotel room or the hiring of the hall. That 2,000 would take such an expense off us for this year alone, and we really appreciate it.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
That's all for this week's Sports Beat Extra. You can listen back to our podcast at beat102103.com. Now Megan continues next with Beat Anthems.